All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Exciting day today. We have planned. Me and Rick, first time ever recording together.
Let's go. I don't know if that's good for the audio clapping, but
yeah, we'll see how the audio turns out. This is the first time we've recorded in the same room. Rick's been coming at us from Alabama, the great state of Alabama. Last few weeks working remote. So we'll see. We should have a lot better chemistry being in person.
Yeah, I think we'll be much better be able to see each other face to face rather than me sitting in the closet talking
exactly
to the abyss.
And for new fans of Aaron and Rick content, we even used to have an old podcast we used to run. Ran what, like 50 episodes or so?
Yeah, probably around there.
Around there, and never in person in all 50 episodes. So exciting day, exciting times here for the Grid Go Hard fan base witnessing history right now. All right, so action-packed show despite not having a race last week. Big news right out of the gate, Rick. Want to hit us with what we got?
Viva Las Vegas. Vegas, baby.
Love those baritone vocals from Rick right there. That was excellent. Yeah. So big Vegas race. What's going on in Vegas?
Yep. So last Thursday, I think it was, big announcements. This has kind of been in the rumor mill basically since the start of the season, but official announcement that Vegas will be hosting the Grand Prix in 2023, November.
Yeah, so all the rage. You saw there's like a million quotes from drivers also talking about how their number one city of choice for a new race would be Vegas. So it spans back like 5-6 years. So I'm sure all the drivers are fired up. Americans are definitely fired up. I feel like I've heard more about the Vegas race from people I didn't realize with Formula One fans than pretty much any news since I started following Formula One.
Oh, yeah, when it got announced last week, I was in – a class at the time with just 14 other people. I'd like said I was interested in F1. No one was that interested. But as soon as that news hit, like in our group chat, someone sent the notification and was like, we do in Vegas next year.
Yeah, people are fired up for it. Yeah. Sure. I've had like 5 people ask me, oh, you going out to Vegas? It's like, most likely, no. I think it's going to be very expensive. What do you think would be more expensive, Vegas or Miami?
I think Miami still.
Okay, yeah.
Vegas just has better infrastructure to handle events like this.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would say Miami this year will be more expensive than Vegas next year. We'll see. Maybe after the debut year, Miami might be a little less.
Yeah, I can see. Though, Formula One is definitely going to be popular next year, even more so than last year. Because I feel like, again, it's just kind of snowballed, like, we got into it last year. We had a cool group of friends, but I feel like it's like, all right, we found six guys or whatever into it last year. And now I feel like it's
that's true.
Everyone kind of has some sort of touchstone to Formula One that's a sports fan. I mean, I'm curious your take. Like, I feel like a lot of people aren't even necessarily sports fans have some familiarity with F1 now because of Drive to Survive.
Yeah, my sister's watched like a good bit of the show, just like, and she's not the biggest sports watcher for sure.
Yeah, I would say probably I've had more girls tell me they're interested in Formula One than any other sport, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah, they watch Drive to Survive, and they're like, oh yeah, I like the show, so.
Good looking guys driving fast in cars.
Yeah, just ask Christian Horner. They don't care about the sport, they just care about the handsome drivers. All right. Yeah, so what do you think about the track, the circuit? You fired up for the race, or you think it's a little bit of overhype?
I mean, we'll see how the race is. Like, street tracks are hit or miss on how good they are. I mean, but the views, like, either in TV or in person, it goes straight down, like, Las Vegas Boulevard on the strip.
Yeah, right past, like, Caesars and stuff, and I think it ends at, like,
goes past the fountain,
yeah,
all that.
I think it ends around Mandalay Bay, maybe.
Yeah, probably
about right there. I think is when it goes off, and I mean, it's a pretty simple track. It's like there's like mostly just straightaways and like one hairpin and like a handful of turns, but you know, doesn't necessarily mean bad track. So like when Jetta and Qatar had,
yeah, it's gonna be fast as hell, for sure. I think this is why we got to commit to going in person, though, Aaron. You got to get off the fence and commit. Because I feel like if you're going in person, honestly, it doesn't really matter how good the racing is. You only see, like...
That's true. That's true. You see
a tenth of it. Yeah, it's just like the atmosphere. I think the atmosphere is going to be unreal.
Oh, it's going to be electric atmosphere. The whole city is going to be buzzing all week. So is Vegas a good American race is the one you go to most likely?
Yeah, if you like, money's gonna play a part of that, but if you take away money for sure,
Austin's probably for sure gonna be the cheapest for a variety of reasons, I would imagine. But Austin's one where the infrastructure is not at all set up for, probably even worse than Miami.
No,
so
yeah, logistics, we're on the West Coast, it's easy to get to Vegas.
Yeah, we could drive out there, and I would imagine a lot of the hotels, you could see the strip from your room. So, I mean like might not even have to pay for a ticket, I guess. I'm sure those hotels would be really expensive. But
yeah, I'm sure it would be like to get that. There'll be a special thing to get the strip-facing hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome, though.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Have a nice balcony and everything. Just have a little viewing park. Because you could probably see more than just that stretch also, because it's not very far out, but I don't know. I mean, I've heard viewing experiences at the races are not very great for knowing what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But if you're at like the Cosmo, which is kind of right in the middle, high up, maybe you can see, have like 360, not 360, but 180 view of the track would be kind of sick.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on the Vegas race? Or?
I will say, and we're both fairly. Or at least lurking on the Formula One subreddit. Fuck all the haters that don't want to see a third American race.
Yeah, there's a lot of European
betas, dude.
yeah, fuck the haters. This is the U.S.
I know. Last week we were talking about Saudi Arabia. Like, should we? Shouldn't we race there? But this is America now.
Yeah, this
don't come after us.
This is American. Racing. Hey, we're taking over F1, baby. Yeah. We're about to sign our own rights deal. We got more races than any other country now. I think Italy's the only other one, even with two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year.
Well, Austria
had two.
Yeah.
They're not doing that again, though, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah. So now America is going to be leading the pack. Gotta love it. It's like in Talladega Nights, where what's his face? The foreigner comes to America. Oh, yeah. What's his name?
I don't remember what his name is.
Jean Girard or something like that?
Yeah, it's something.
Some French.
It's something French.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fuck all the haters.
Yeah.
I'm hyped.
Plus the track. Hey, people were hating on the track also. Might have just been some American resentment, but... I think it can be good, you know? Simple tracks can be the best.
Especially with the new, like, regulations and stuff. I feel like any track can be decent on these new regulations.
I was a little concerned that they were just... And I guess this concern is still, you know, somewhat legitimate that they were way more focused on just having a race down the strip and having it be a good track. That it might just be a really boring, shitty track with a lot of issues. Everyone will probably be distracted by, like, you know, all the familiar hotels and towns and all that stuff where they won't care.
At least for the first couple races, it'll be super exciting, super good event, I predict.
I mean, it would be...
See if it gets old eventually, but...
Yeah, and you gotta imagine the main drag straightaway down the strip, the longest part of the track. So it's gonna be where all the action's gonna be going on, also.
Yeah.
So it's like big overtakes going on right past the Bellagio fountains and stuff. That'll be pretty sick. That'll be sick.
Definitely.
All right. So speaking of more American F1 news, this is an American-centric podcast. We've got the U.S. media rights. They're up at the end of the season. Currently, they're broadcasting on ESPN. They basically just repurpose Sky's broadcast and just put it over ESPN Airways. Makes it pretty easy for American cord cutters to watch on the ESPN app. It's easy to watch in delay. I mean, on the West Coast, that's how we watch basically all of the races, is just wake up in the morning, don't check Instagram, Twitter, or ESPN, whatever, and then watch the race at 8 in the morning or whatever on delay. So the media rights potentially switching over. I assume they did get a pretty big fee for those.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely – I mean, it'll definitely be more money. I could see it staying with ESPN, but – like I think there will be more money in it, and it, the good for F1 in America that people, it's like a live TV event that people are willing to pay for. Like even last year, like you're getting like races towards the end of the season when it's more normal times for Americans. You're getting races on ABC and stuff like that. So that'd be sick to see more of that, but. I also like the Sky broadcast, and I feel like if you're buying that, you'd want to build like a broadcast around that and include like more advertising and shit, where that would be a downside, I think.
Yeah, so the Bahrain Grand Prix had a peak of 1.5 million U.S. viewers. So the average viewer for the race last year was under a million. So 50% from the first one of the year. And I'm sure year over year was a lot higher. This is just looking at it for 1 second. So I definitely could have misread those stats, but
that is the one thing that I keep the price down. That most of the races are like at, it's even like worse than like, soccer coverage, like usually they're even earlier than that, those things. So.
Yeah, agreed. And I love Martin Brundle before the race interviews. If you haven't watched the pregame for a race, highly recommend it. It's just chaos.
We were late discovering that last year. I'm trying to remember. It might have been
because we always watch on delay, so we never watched the pregame.
It might have been Coda. We watched it.
Yeah, because that was the best one. It had Meg Thee Stallion, that was a famous interview. There was a couple other good ones on that
but it's just such a funny thing where it's just a guy with a microphone and a cameraman just in a mass of people just like looking around, no like set structures, just like, oh, who do I see and can try to grab here?
Yeah, it's... it's just chaos. And it's like, as an American viewer, I mean, it'd be like if they walked up to an NBA shoot around and the guy was just walking around the court and just like interrupted the dude in the shoot around. He's like, yo, can you do like 30 seconds right now? Or as Spike Lee is going to a seat, he just grabs him and is like, hey, can you do an interview?
They should start doing that in the NBA. I feel like that'd be awesome in the playoffs. Like you have like all the celebrities there. That'd be good.
Yeah, that, I mean, now I'm saying it out loud. That sounds like a good idea. They should. And what's funny also is I think, like in America, no one's used to that. So yeah, Meg Thee Stallion and Serena Williams and all these people just kind of being like, "Yo, what the fuck is going on?" Like Martin Brundle is pulling them over. But all the drivers and team principals think it's totally normal, and they invite it, and they're all really friendly and stuff. So it's just pretty funny. All right, so speaking of cashing out and selling out, we've got another proposition for the podcast. Grid Go Hard, four episodes in. We might already start selling our soul for some checks. Got hit up by Podmatch. I think, was that the guy? Was that the same thing that told us we were top 109?
I think it was a different person. It was like Jorge the first time or something like that.
Was it also, that might have been Pod Status or something like that.
I don't know.
Apparently, new podcasts are right targets because we got hit up this time by this guy, Alex Sanfilippo. He said, hey, my name is Alex Sanfilippo. I found Grid Go Hard on Apple. By the way, he didn't even capitalize Grid Go Hard. So if you're sending out a cold email to someone to be a potential customer, capitalize the fucking show's name. Okay. So I found Grid Go Hard on Apple and wanted to reach out about something that my company, parentheses, Podmatch, oh, he capitalized his podcast name, just started doing that may interest you. This is in bold now. Podcast hosts now get paid to interview guests from Podmatch. Parentheses, keeping this short, I explain more here. Link to a YouTube video. I believe this change is going to revolutionize the podcast industry. Hosts getting paid to become the new standard, smiley face emoticon.
Agreed.
We've already had 27,276 podcasters join. That's a fuck ton. And I'd be honored if you'd check us out too. Here's the link. Podmatch.com/signup/Alex. Keep up the great work with your show. Oh, you got fans. So if you're listening, Alex, love the idea. Appreciate the grind. Just one note, make sure to capitalize our podcast. So it says founder of Podmatch.com. Podmatch is a popular podcasting services, parentheses, featured by Forbes, Business Insider, Yahoo Finance, and MarketWatch, that automatically matches ideal podcast guests and hosts together to record podcast interviews. Friend Herb is bold now. Think Tinder, but for podcasting. All right. All right. We just create our Grid Go Hard profile. Get along.
We just start finding hot girls for interviews.
Yeah, we just find a bunch of wannabe LA influencers to interview about Formula One.
They think Tinder, but for podcasts, but still usually like Tinder.
Yeah, we just find a bunch of IG influencers that are just trying to shill out their OnlyFans.
I know some of our listeners would enjoy that.
The Venn diagram between the Grid Go Hard audience and the OnlyFans audience has some overlap, probably. You know, hey, more power to the people.
All right. Well, we might have to check it out. Who knows who's on their list of guests? Maybe it's someone like Will Buxton from Drive Survive. We can get him for next week.
All right. Let's do this. Let's sign up. Hey, what's the worst that could happen? Unless this is like some mid-level marketing thing where we have to pay to then get paid. I mean, you know, if it's like $10, throw it out there. Maybe we'll get a hit.
All right, so let us know what guests you want on the podcast.
Yep.
Start building our roster.
Well, they booked 159 interviews in the last 24 hours. See if they've got any customer. All right, yeah. All right, well, we'll check it out. If we've got a paid podcast next week, that'd be awesome. A little side hustle. All right. So now on to the meat of the episode. Typically, you know, we break this down into one half of prior race recap. One half is going to be the preview of the upcoming race. No race weekend. Hope everyone enjoyed the weekend off with the family, with the wife and kids, or husband and kids, of course, for all of our female listeners out there as well. But now we got the week off. We got to catch up on Driver Survive. Me and Rick have not actually watched many episodes before the last race. And so we've caught up. Our original plan was to do the whole season review, but we were so far behind. We only made it through halfway through. So we finished up to episode 5. Last one was Monza. So if you listen to or watch the whole season before us and we're just fired up to hear our opinions on episode 10, stay tuned. We'll get there.
We just had to make a little more digestible chunks.
Exactly. And, you know, we got to touch on all the topics. So what we got, the first episode, preseason, Bahrain. Second one was about Ricciardo going to McLaren, then Monaco versus Ferrari. Then we had Max and Lewis between.
I switched those up, I think, but go ahead.
Yeah, I self-corrected you, Rick. Good effort though on our Google Doc. Then we had Max and Lewis at what was the one before Silverstone?
They did France?
No. Well, that might have actually been, but they did one before Silverstone, where Lewis lost. I don't remember now. Silverstone was the second one. And the first one was, maybe it was France that they did it.
I think
it
was. Just keep going.
Okay,
yeah. That's my thing.
And then the Haas episode, which was amazing. I can't wait to talk about that one. And then the fifth one was Monza and McLaren and a little bit of Ferrari, but mostly McLaren. So with that, I mean, I think it's safe to say for both of us, having actually watched and followed the whole season live last year, definitely less interested in Drive to Survive just because all the main plot points you've watched already in real time. So it kind of makes a little bit more sense why maybe some of these things haven't really taken off for other sports in America, because it's like, all right, if we were watching a recap on an NFL season 4 months after the Super Bowl, would we really care that much?
Yeah. The access is still like impressive on this. Like, I would say I'm less interested in like following storylines, but just like the little interviews and the access, I still think is very well done for this.
So there's been a lot of complaints, especially after this most recent season to come out, from drivers about their portrayals. So that kind of ties into the access. And I got two questions here. Do we think the portrayals are accurate and the drivers just don't like how they're being portrayed? And two, do you think it's going to lead to massive cuts in access, which is going to make the show worse?
My kind of opinion is that there's like kernels of truth in it. But I think they do over dramatize stuff. For the most part, they're playing storylines, basically, in the McLaren stuff.
Okay, let's get the McLaren one, because I think this is the one
I think that's the one most drivers are pissed about. They're not even pissed about their own coverage.
Yeah, so I think they're all pissed about Lando versus Ricciardo kind of thing, right?
Yeah, because this is last season it had a similar thing where it was the rivalry between Lando and Sainz, and it basically made it seem like they're really frustrated with each other and rivals, when it seems like they're pretty much like
really good friends
on the track, off the track. And then it kind of continues this season where Daniel Ricciardo is the star of Drive to Survive. Him and Horner are the two stars. So Ricciardo comes to McLaren, they have a whole episode, the second episode is based about him coming in, and it's just like intersparses like Lando, like small Lando comments about, like I'm trying to remember what he doesn't feel sorry.
Yeah,
because Daniel struggled at the beginning of last year,
and Lando
was on a tear at the beginning. So I think there is like a kernel of truth. They take those actual sound bites and then just like cut out any context around them.
So my take on Lando is, I actually think Lando might be kind of an asshole and like super rich kid who like was the youngest Formula One driver ever. So probably a little bit entitled and probably kind of a little bit of an asshole, but also like not a bad guy.
Yeah.
But I could see how like you might not necessarily jive with him, and he's kind of an asshole, but like when you know him, he's like fine, but like it comes off. It's probably very easy to like paint him in a bad way. And like you said, there's a kernel of truth where it's like, all right, this guy's just kind of a douchebag. But in reality, it's like, all right, if he knows people, that's just kind of his humor. It's like, still makes, you're still a douchebag, but it's like, all right, he's just kind of being funny and stuff. Yeah. So he's easily painted that way. But my guess is it's probably like, oh shit, I don't like how that comes off. But the Sainz thing is also real, because him and Sainz definitely were good friends.
Yeah.
And but like, I don't know, the Ricciardo one feels like there's a little bit more tension, probably just because Ricciardo was
I feel like you could generally do that for any team. Like
they love to pit the teammates against each other.
That's and that's like, I think just naturally there is
tension
in between teammates, just unless you're like, it's a really defined like Lewis Valtteri. Like Lewis is just in a different stratosphere, not competing with Valtteri.
Yeah.
they got some Super Bowl. So, but if you're really playing those, no one dealing really with the
A guy, B guy, it's like, okay, so you're both trying to be the A guy, and really the only person
that you're trying to compare yourself to is the other guy. So these are really competitive guys that don't have some kind of tension between them. So
I don't think it's all like for sure.
So do you think that they're going to cut down access because the Max Verstappen famously already said he's not going to be on the show. And it's similar deal with Max where season one, he was kind of the foil to Ricardo.
Yeah.
And I think Max is just not at similar way where Max naturally is just a little bit prickly. I wouldn't say Lando's prickly. He's just kind of probably an asshole a little bit.
He just, asshole jokes around a lot. Just like, he's kind of like, off-guard. I feel like he'll just say what's on his mind.
Yeah, he's like kind of like that sarcastic, kind of guy. And Max is just not super friendly, obviously. And so Ricardo is the exact opposite. Just a producer's dream. Loves to overshare. Super bubbly personality. So Max is not in the show. So I'm curious with now, because the signs one was one that everyone pointed to with him and Lando, where it was like, no, they're actually best friends. This tension was totally made up. So I think now that there was something that was totally made up, there's something they could kind of latch on to and be like, all right, yeah, this is also bullshit, even if there's something a little bit more realistic. So do you think this scandal might be a strong word, but this controversy will lead to less access?
Maybe with a couple more specific drivers, but I think most of them probably kind of realize that it's good for the sport, so ultimately good for their paychecks. And like,
yeah, there might be
a couple more drivers that are like, you fucked me up, I'm talking to you, but it's like,
the sport grows, the contracts grow, they're more popular.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ricardo's obviously never going to stop.
Yeah.
Ricardo's never going to stop. Who do you think is the most prominently featured other than him? I think it might be Sainz.
Sainz is in there.
George Russell's in there a decent amount also.
No, he was not in there last year.
Really?
A little spoiler for you. Episode 6 is about Williams, and the intro is like, I wasn't featured at all. Sure. I only had one line in the whole
movie. I just feel like George Russell's been in this one, and I know there's a George Russell Williams episode coming up.
Yeah,
but that was a joke.
Well, fake news coming from Aaron there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I think it's...
I mean, Gunther. He's not a driver, but he's definitely number two other than Ricardo.
Well, Horner.
That's probably
your big three. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk Haas, because personally, I mean, the Max Lewis stuff, I feel like there wasn't anything that enlightening. Everyone knew that.
I felt like they could have done better, at least so far through the season, with the Max Lewis stuff. I feel like Silverstone was like a way bigger event. Then it was pretty damn short in the episode. Like, they talk about it in the new multiple races, but it's like,
I feel like it should have been like a third of the episode, two thirds of the Silverstone. Because it's like the crash is big, they go over like the hospitalization stuff, but like,
well, they also cover Lewis's comeback, yeah. They just show him past Leclerc, basically.
Yeah.
But he's in last place, I think. No, maybe not last place, but 12th or something like that. He's pretty deep, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it just like makes up something crazy, like 12 spots in half a race.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those, maybe this is just me, just every single time I see there's a Lewis versus Max thing. It's just me being sad that Lewis doesn't end up winning. So I'm just pissed off about it. But that stuff is really the stuff where it's like, all right, I was locked into all the Horner and Toto quotes, all of Max and Lewis's radio conversations. I knew all that stuff. But Some of the Haas stuff was just the best. Let's get into it. I love the Haas stuff.
All right, one more thing. Another disappointment is the Drive to Survive crew really screwed up by not showing Alex Albon there the next week.
Oh, doing the
recreating the lines.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But yes, Haas. I was thinking about this. We both have our personal allegiances, but I would say
a Haas cast, if you will.
as a duo, we go hard for Haas.
I was looking for some Haas merch,
and they're still not.
No way. I mean, the team's killing it right now.
Well, I think they sold out most of it, and then I think they had to take down a bunch because they probably have a shit ton of your collie
yeah,
sitting around going to the African countries.
Yeah, so I think, what was your favorite part about the Haas episode? Because the Mazepin family dynamic with that is so hilarious. To be introduced, where Mazepin is just a huge asshole, sucks at driving, but his dad is also like fully on board that they actually have a different car than Mick Schumacher has out there, and that's the reason why they're bad. And they threaten to pull the sponsor, and Gunther has to somehow navigate. Like, and also the fact that it's a Russian oligarch, and this drops right as the Russian oligarchs are getting fucked by the war in Ukraine and Putin's decisions. The whole thing is just like, it really puts in perspective the, oh shit, Gunther was really trying to navigate like dealing with a Russian oligarch whose son is his driver and his son sucks, but this guy's funding the whole team. I mean, let's be honest, Russian oligarchs are kind of scary dudes probably to deal with. So watching his son just be a classic spoiled kid, just blame the car for incompetence, and Gunther trying to navigate those, and the whole time he's just like, the whole point of the season is just to survive. He clearly doesn't care if the team's
gonna be good. I did like how they like tried Netflix tried to
Portray, they make him seem like an asshole to start, but then they try to give him a happy
and you're like after at the Russian Grand Prix and it's like,
no, I just still an asshole. And I think I saw that the only people that crashed actually beat anybody at their race.
Yeah, they just, the only positive they could come up with is that he just subbed in the Inters before everyone else, and it was like, oh yeah, the clouds in Russia are just different.
That's good. I joined Mazepin senior access. I never saw pictures of him on the grid that much.
Yeah, only missed 15 of Nikita's races in his whole life out of hundreds, he said. So, supportive dad. You basically bought a Formula One team just so his kid could have a drive. But yeah, I loved the photo shoot. Obviously, was classic as well.
Gunther doesn't know how to rock it, dude.
I mean, just the Haas, like, unintentional comedy is just so good. Yeah, and you notice they didn't have, was that Mick, because Mick came with a German sponsor, 1&1.
Yeah,
was that for that company, or is this just a totally separate thing?
What do you mean,
like, is 1&1 like an IKEA of Germany that they were doing this photo shoot for, or was this a separate company that they're just doing a photo shoot for?
I don't know.
It's hilarious. We need like a poster.
I don't know what 1&1 is. Just a random German company.
I mean, he wears the hat, you know.
It's definitely his sponsor because, like, they basically take two.
By 1&1 web hosting company, so not the IKEA of Germany. Yeah. So a little domain name hosting. The GoDaddy of Germany.
Maybe we'll use 1&1 to create the Grid Go Hard website.
Yeah, stay tuned. No, we already said this is a pro America podcast. We're not going overseas.
Not sort of German.
They might, you know. Anyways, Yeah. So anything more with the Haas episode? Love everything about Gunther, the flashbacks to him calling Grosjean and Magnussen fucking wankers and idiots was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just anytime Gunther's on the screen, it's just a good time.
Wish he had
some more Schumacher in it, but. Yeah, can't ask for everything.
I appreciated the Mazepin, especially since we'll never get any more Mazepin access.
Well, he's got his phone. You see that video of him, like, he created like a fund for Russian athletes that can't compete.
What are they going to do? Like,
they're just raising money to support him.
Providing legal expenses and stuff like
that if they're, like, going to sue for contracts and stuff.
It's funny, go
watch it after this. It's funny.
Mazepin, one interesting thing also is weird accent.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he went to like boarding
in London. Yeah, because it was almost very British.
Yeah, I think he's definitely like very classic British trained English.
Yeah.
If you're an oligarch, you can send your kids to go to boarding schools and learn English like that.
Yeah. I also liked how Gunther said that everyone in the crew is afraid of him. Because they even did drop a quote about them paying for the 2022 car. So confirmed that Dmitry Mazepin just paid for all of the upgrades to this car, and now Nikita's not. It would have been nice to see Nikita maybe do one race in the car.
just to see
how he is.
Well, I mean, Mick's not been good, so
we'll see. Good. He crashed in the qualifiers, but he was, I think, like eighth or something like that when he crashed in qualifiers. Yeah. So we'll see.
But he did crash. Yeah.
So we'll see. Big race coming up for him. Oh, Monaco. That was the Hamilton race I was thinking where Hamilton fell apart. Anyways. We have Drive to Survive going on in the background right now as we're recording, so got a little distracted right there. And then Monza, I mean, I don't know. Anything more to cover? I feel like that was just super McLaren heavy. And
I enjoyed McLaren's it.
Little jerk. Yeah, you could take this one, Rick. How'd you feel about the Monza one?
There wasn't too much new. Just like hype. It's like watching like a title video, like when they used to do the title videos, season and review type deals.
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, that happened.
It does feel like the McLaren stuff is super grim on Drive to Survive. Though I remember that thinking they had a pretty solid.
Oh yes, this is true. Yeah, they were like,
there was a lull. Super hot at the
EF. They end poorly too, but even at
they did have a little bit of a lull going into the summer break.
They were significantly worse than the year before, but I mean they were competitive all season long for the most part last year. It seemed like it was super grave. And they're talking about Zach Brown like being on the hot seat sort of. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I mean, that being said, maybe they were just foreshadowing for how shit the car was going to be this year.
Hey, it could be on the hot seat. That Audi deal's coming in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that could be something to talk about next time. For those at home, there's been a rumored acquisition of McLaren by Audi for a while now, and there was some news today about it as well.
Yeah, it sounds like McLaren just as a company has been just hemorrhaging cash, and they need someone to come in and bail them out.
So stay tuned. So maybe Audi will join Formula One and take over McLaren. But anyways, all right, should we any other thoughts on Driver Survive so far? How do you think the season so far compares to the prior few?
I didn't like a lot of the first parts of the last season, so I think it's better than that. I just generally, when it came out, I was at a point where I was sick of COVID content.
Yeah.
And like the first four episodes of the previous season are all just about COVID, just wrecking the season. So, but I thought that the previous season was very good. But
it's been good so far.
I've been a little bit less interested in the story.
It's just because
I've seen them.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not interested in the Ocon Sonoda episode.
That's where I'm at. The Williams one's not bad.
The Williams one seems like kind of boring also. It's just all going to be about George Russell being Mr. Saturday or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the actual racing, living in the present, not the past. It's Australian Grand Prix. It's Australian Grand Prix, not Melbourne, right?
Yeah, Australian Melbourne.
Grand Prix. Melbourne.
Yeah, they got we got that race of Daniel Ricciardo's home race. Will he finish above P15, Rick?
I think he'll do better than 15.
On what grounds?
the Aussie is lifting him up in the McLaren's
the new Haas with less Shit fun with Zach Brown less fun than Gunther. All right, so I mean this is the first time we've seen the track, so we really have no clue what's going to play or not here.
Yeah, it sounds like
I mean I think it's just from fans in general. It's
very well liked,
but it's always been like the first. So it's kind of like, because it's the first race of the season, or is it like naturally like?
Sounds like the atmosphere there is one of the better.
I'd imagine
the Australians know how to have a good time.
Yeah, they park.
Oh yeah. And they're bored. How many shoeys will we see this week? Gotta be a lot of shoey content coming out.
Should we add that bet to our preview?
I just don't know how we regulate it. It's like shoeys.
Should be shown on the broadcast.
See, I don't think there's going to be any probably on the broadcast.
You don't think they showed one last year?
The U.S.
Yeah.
Was that on the broadcast or was that just like viral? See, that's why I think we're going to see a lot of Shoey content.
I'll definitely be showing Shoeys on the broadcast, I think.
Over under 1.5 Shoeys on the broadcast, Rick.
Over.
I'm taking the under. All right, let's have that be our bet.
All right,
so it has the rules of the bet is it has to be literally
Saturday over Sunday.
Well, Saturday is way more likely because there's like all these gaps they have to fill in between rounds of qualifying and stuff. I was thinking just Sunday.
Okay,
we can just do Sunday.
Does it have to be between lights out and end of the race or just the like end of the trophy ceremony or? What are the
I would say through the end of the main broadcast, or through the trophy ceremony.
Okay.
The podium.
Okay, through the podium. After from lights out to the podium, will there be a shoey? All right, it could be fans or drivers or principals or anyone. Over one and a half shoeys.
I'll take the under.
I'm taking the under. I don't think they show shoeys. There's going to be a lot of shoey content in general, though, on social media.
This is something that shouldn't count, but it would go in my favor. So this is me being all replays don't count.
Okay. Yeah, replays don't count. I see a live shoey.
Because I think there would definitely be a Daniel Ricciardo.
There might be a shoey montage.
a shoey montage account for that.
a shoey montage. I say that.
Just like Men at Work down, Land Down Under going on in the background.
They've got to show at least one for sure. I think.
Does Ricciardo have to podium to get a shoey, or does he shoey even if he does worse?
No, I don't think it's gonna be Ricciardo.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't have to be, but
I think I'll be fans.
Do you think Ricciardo will do a shoey if he finishes in the points?
There's some pride left. Jesus.
Hey, we already heard last week. Gunther would fuck the whole paddock for a point. At least Ricardo would be shooting now that they're the new Haas.
No, he will not do a shooey unless he's on a podium.
Okay.
But he won't be on the podium. So.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah, but I mean, other than that, we've never watched a race. So how many races do you think we haven't seen any of now? Maybe like 10 tracks?
10.
See, yeah. We haven't seen the big ones. Australia. We haven't seen Baku. Supposedly Baku is a sick track. That's a lot of fun every year. But Australia, Baku, Barcelona, Suzuka, Imola, France.
I watched some of France last year.
Oh, look at you. Locked in last year. Early fan.
You ever watch Monaco?
No, Monaco, Montreal.
Montreal, yep.
So, I mean, that's 8 right there. So, yeah, probably about 10. There's probably a couple that we didn't think of right off the bat. So it'll be a fun one. This is the first one since 2019 also. So Australia's had a really strict COVID regulation.
Yeah, it's like the first like big sporting event in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With fans or just at all?
I think with like full fans. Did the Aussie Open have fans? I don't remember.
I have no clue. I don't remember either.
I think they might not have even.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is the island nation.
For sure with fans because they did have the Aussie Open.
Yeah, okay.
This year, but I don't remember. I read it somewhere. I don't remember if it was like just with any fans or full fans.
So Valtteri Bottas won the last race in 2019. Lewis, though, was on pole, I think, every single time they've raced during the turbo hybrid era. So 8 races, I think, were Lewis in a row at Melbourne where.
Yeah, you could set the record for most poles at a single track if you get the pole this weekend.
Yeah, he has 8 poles at Melbourne. Is it Melbourne? That's how the Australians say, right? Melbourne. I remember an Australian once made fun of me for calling it Melbourne.
Melbourne.
So Lewis, I think he had like some time penalties the last time or something like that was why he didn't win. But it's also historically a difficult track to overtake. So that's why Valtteri basically just had a shoe-in victory last year. Him and Lewis, 2019, they were front of the grid. Valtteri had a famous line where he said, "To whom it may concern."
Oh no! Valtteri got him on the start, actually. The president.
Oh, okay, but Lewis did have.
Might have got time penalties after, but Valtteri sounded like then not having pole led the whole. Okay,
and then he also had a pretty famous mic, whatever radio comment after he finished P1, where he said, "To whom it may concern, fuck you." So also on Valtteri, I got some feedback on criticizing my pronunciation for Bottas. So I'm curious, how do you pronounce his last name?
Bottas.
No, I don't know. I think I said Bottas. Valtteri Bottas. Bottas just sounds better.
Yeah. Is it Bottas? I think it's Bottas is closer than Bottas. But it's like Bottas with like kind of, you know, a little Finnish flair. So I'm just going to stick to Valtteri. I'm just going to stick to only Valtteri just so, you know, silence the haters. I mean, if anyone's got a problem with Valtteri pronunciation, you know, DMs are open. All right. So he was the last winner. So I don't think the rest are predicting a Valtteri repeat.
No.
You had to think about that one, Rick.
Is that a good start?
Yeah, is that a good start?
I would love to see it. Love Valtteri.
All right. So, you know, mention tough to overtake. That's why Mercedes Valtteri was a shoo-in with Lewis's penalties. They made some changes to the track, though. Why don't you walk us through the big one, obviously, being the DRS zones?
So made some changes.
Kind of goes hand in hand here. One of the big changes, they got rid of a chicane in there. and basically made it one not straight away, but pretty curved
rather than like
basically added a DRS zone to there. So now you have, for the first time ever, four DRS zones in one race. Like literally half the track is DRS zone.
Half the track is in DRS, which means like amount of like speed on the track is gonna be insane. And we already saw the, because there's only two detection zones, I think, right? Also,
you get two
DRS zones on one detection. So there's probably going to be some serious tomfoolery.
And we'll see if DRS is like really actually just too powerful with these new cars. They're just sitting there waiting for the other car to get there, so they can just
overtake them.
Take them on a quarter of the track and be gone by the time they're. That they comes around again.
Yeah, so I think it could be just maybe tomfoolery, I think is the right word. Whether it's entertaining or what, or good racing, I think it's going to be weird.
I'm still in my honeymoon phase, like DRS, interesting strategies, but if
You see that kind of stuff every race, you feel like it will get old.
Yeah, it could get old. But on the flip side, it has led to a lot of battles, sustained battles.
Yeah.
So even if there's some like weirdness going on, it would suck if it's just, all right, whoever's in second going into the DRS zone is just going to have an easy pass. Though, but then there's the second detection zone right after that. So the other guy could just come right back.
I'm curious if you have two straight DRS, are you going to be able to get out of a second afterwards by the end of the second, and then it takes three laps to come back.
Yeah, that could be fair point where it's like, all right, if you're, you know, 0.3 behind the first DRS, if you're basically one full second up on the second one already, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, what we had planned for our original bet was about overtakes, but I feel like the one we did was a little more fun and organic. Yeah. But so they changed a lot of the track. Also, there's like,
I think they got the chicane, changed a couple turns.
Total F1 hardo move. Just started talking about the chicanes being removed.
Yeah, and then just widen the track.
I think,
which sounds like that's not really the issue, but I don't know. It sounds like it's just the way the track is built. It's just like you have to be on the racing line.
It's pretty hard.
Well, they widened it so I think that the racing line is a little different to go around to overtake and like maintain speed. I think
we don't even know what the racing line is.
We know, yeah, but we know it's a real strict one. All right, so do we wrap it up here with predictions then?
I'm trying to think.
You go ahead.
All right, so I was gonna say, I think I'm going winner, Max Verstappen. I'm gonna go Max. Let's see here. Maybe I even go Max Checo 1-2. Leclerc 3. I just think Ferrari has had, or not Ferrari, excuse me, Red Bull plus Oracle Man chilling out for the company here. Red Bull has had great straight line speed. So I feel like that plays well with the DRS zones. And Checo had a great week last week, so he seems to be in pretty good form. He kind of got screwed over a little bit, so that's why I'm, you know, gonna throw him in there, even though he's traditionally not as strong maybe as Leclerc. Max obviously defended champ, can't argue with that one going number one, I don't think. But I just think that the straight line speed has been really good for Red Bull so far. It seems to be the best on the grid on those points, so I think with the DRS zones being so prominent, I'll take the straight line speed on this one.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Max winning as well.
I'll go Leclerc 2. Mercedes getting a little bit rumors of some upgrades.
Okay.
Coming to,
love that. This is Aaron Clapping here. Where are my Mercedes at?
Coming to Australia. I think Lewis a little disappointing last week.
Okay.
Gets that fire in him.
Gets that goat fire in him.
Lewis gets back on the
podium this week. And
looks like they took a slight step up. I don't think they'll be caught up.
But the full week off was good for them, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, look at that. Look at that. Rick putting Mercedes in and me going with the Red Bull top two.
Yeah.
What kind of crossover episode is this? Love that. All right, excited for that. So any other points that we missed, Rick? Anything you want to wrap up with? Oh, we got the weird times. We didn't talk about that.
Pretty little trial run for Vegas. Vegas is going to be at the same time next year.
Is it actually going to be that late?
Yeah. That's what I saw at least. So it's going to be at 10 p.m. West Coast time. So we'll be
on Saturday for us. It'll be on Sunday.
Obviously, but
thanks for all of our Australian viewers. Wait, they're going to race on Saturday here?
Yeah, it's a Saturday night race
for Vegas.
Oh, what the hell? That's so weird.
So you didn't see that?
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that.
So it's on Saturday night this week, but that's obviously because it's going to be Sunday in Australia.
Australia's fun as fuck.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be fun to watch a race at night.
Oh, I'm excited for it. The boys over. The beers will be flowing Friday, qualifying at 11 p.m. And then Saturday, the race is going to be 10 p.m. West Coast time. Kind of sucks for East Coasters. 2 a.m. and 1 a.m.
They're used to it.
Yeah, I guess it's no different than 5 a.m. You can stay up, but you can watch 1 to 2 a.m. qualifying session.
They have it easier than the rest of it. East Coast gets West Coast doesn't get the love usually.
Exactly. We've had the love so far, though. It's been nice. I'm excited for the – we should get a good crowd going for – qualifying and also the actual race. So we'll see how rowdy the boys get.
Let's go.
All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in and tune in this weekend, Friday, Saturday night. Hope everyone gets a little rowdy. Send us pictures of your watch parties and can't wait to watch the grid go hard.
Sign off.